Sorry, just for all the visitors, we've got a new sound system for the last couple of weeks, so we're all trying it out. You can't really gain drop, Rian. Gain is helemaal te hoog, ja. I'll say, that is better. Okay. Can you hear my word? Okay. So, this morning, I'm super excited about this morning. I've been not preparing a preach for more than a couple of months on this now. It's been a journey with the Lord, with these two verses that I want to preach out of, and it's been something that really changed my life. And I've struggled with it, and I've wrestled with it, and because I didn't really know, yes, what is this saying? So it's taken me, it's been 6 months now. I remember in December's holiday, I read these two verses, and I haven't left it for 6 months. So it's rarig. Elke stilte tyd wat ek gekry het, every time I just spend in these two verses, just like, Lord, speak to me. And I'm not going to stop, so I'm just going to share a little bit of what I felt. Obviously, you can't put everything into one preach. I don't think that's the aim of it. The aim is just what I feel, just one of the things that God highlighted for me out of these verses, I want to share for us as a congregation. We do feel, we don't just take a verse and we preach out of it. The reason why I do this, I do feel it's for us as a congregation where the Lord wants to take us, what He's busy doing in us. So for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about, or for this last couple of months, we've been talking about how the Lord wants to speak to us about getting back to the basics and not just making everything so super complicated, but getting back to the basics of the gospel, getting back to the basics. Like, for us to break into the more, it's not making it more complicated. It's making sure that we understand what the Lord wants us to do. So it's not that complicated. Amen? Okay. So if you want to put a topic to it, I even struggled. I've got so many topics for it. But I landed at the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. So I love asking myself questions. Like, you know, I've said it a million times. I love questioning everything I do, because it makes me think. So I want to ask you again this morning, why are you here? I've said it. If you're a member of this church, you know I probably ask this once a month. Why are you here? Hoekom is jy hier vanoggend? Hoekom is jy hier? Wat is die doel in die hart achter hoekom jy hier so is? And I hope to answer that question this morning again. But just coming to church, I feel, listen, I've been doing this for over 30 years now, going to church. Well, I'm 40 now, but I've been doing it for 40 years, but been born again for 30 of it. And don't you guys sometimes feel like, what's more to know than what we know now? What's more to know about Jesus? I know the right answer, our theology in it is, okay, I know that there's so much more about Jesus, but do you really think that? And especially when I say the gospel, we're going to talk about the gospel, you're like, you want to talk about that again? Is it just me? Because I grew up in church. So for me, sometimes I'm like, okay, do I need to repent again? What are we doing? Like every Sunday, do I have to sit and listen to a preach again? Do I have to have quiet time again? What Lord, what are you saying to me now? What is it? It's sort of this, and sometimes it feels like, yes, all I do is repent and repent and repent. And I struggled with that sometimes, don't you? Was it net ek wat so rebels kan raak? Is it okay? And I say, and I know sometimes we say this thing, and I'm not sure if I'm going to get through everything. We'll see where, if I stop midway and it's awkward, we'll carry on next time if it gets too long. But as I know sometimes we say we shouldn't be sin conscious. Right? Have you heard that said before? We're not sin conscious, we're God conscious. We sê dit sê ons is nie net bewus van ons sonde nie, want dit maak dat mens heeltyd sleg voel. Ons moet bewus wees van die Here. And it sort of feels, if we're sin conscious, it feels like we're not getting anywhere. Okay. So hopefully I've got a few question marks in your head now. And hopefully we can answer that as we go on. So the verse is Romans 1. Obviously it's out of Romans. Romans is a massive book. It's a massive letter that Paul wrote to the Romans. And it's been debated. It's been, yeah. Just a massive letter. And as I was reading, I wanted to read it again, and I started in verse 1, and obviously I've read through Romans how many times in my life, and I got to verse 16 and 17, and I want to read it to us this morning. It should be on now, but Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it," he's saying now, "for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Now that sounds like a mouthful. First time I read it again, well, not the first time. When I read it again in December, I was like, okay, I read through it like I always do. And then you get to a verse, you're like, okay, I read through that. I didn't really understand it, but I'm going to carry on. And I wanted to carry on, and I felt like, no, I'm not going to carry on. What's that saying? Especially that word, righteousness. And we're going to get and work through, I feel like working through these two verses. And there's like, honestly, there's probably, I looked through it last night, there's probably 8 preachers in these two. And I'm going to try and see, we're just going to start working through it and see. But I'm going to try and get through it in one. Okay. But people wrote books about it. The whole Protestant Reformation started because of verse 17. Martin Luther struggled with verse 17 immensely. He actually, his words were, he hated verse 17 because of, and I'm going to try and explain it to us. And then because of that, he started the whole Reformation because of his revelation out of verse 17. So it is a massive verse. I know, like Martin Lloyd-Jones, I started working through Romans 1. He's got a book like this thick on Romans 1. And Romans 6, verse 16 and 17 is probably a third of it. Just in these two verses out of that whole book. So, yeah. It's been a lacquer journey for me. So I'm gonna start, and hopefully I want to make it. And I think that's why God uses people like me. I haven't got a degree. I'm not the super smart guy. I'm just a normal guy that walked behind little small white golf balls for a living. So I'm not, that's what I did. But God's using me, and talking to me, and hopefully I can make it a bit more applicable to all of us. I'm not John Piper. I'm not Andrew Seeley. I'm not these guys. I just want to, that's why God chose me to share this to you today so that we can all try and understand. And I'm going to try and make it as, but I do feel, I'm not just sharing this because it's very complicated. I'm sharing this because I know God wants to break through in our life. Amen? Okay, it's about God revealing himself. We're not just doing it because it's a smart thing to do and I want to look smart. No, we're doing it because God wants to reveal himself through these scriptures. There's a reason why Paul wrote these things, okay? I'm still at my intro. Okay, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." So the gospel, that's the first thing I want to talk about, the gospel. What is the gospel for you? So, and it's something you need to ask yourself, because people are going to, that's why we're here. The gospel. You have to have an answer for yourself. If somebody asks you, what is the gospel? Jy moet kan sê, dit is wat die evangelie van Here is. Het jy so iets in jou kop? Het jy min of meer 'n antwoord vir daai ding? Dis jy nie het nie, it is something that you have to think about. It is something you have to think about. Do I have an answer if somebody asks me, why are you so happy? Can I tell you about the gospel? Have you got an answer? See, I sometimes struggle with that because I'm like, yes, there's so much. Okay. But it's actually not that much. It's so simple thing. It's such a, and I'm going to get to that now, but the Greek word for the gospel in Rian, Rian said it on Tuesday night. No? Yeah, it was Thursday night with Bible school. You also mentioned the Greek word, and it's euangelion. Is that right? Thank you. That's the Greek. And it, that thing that it, that word means basically is the good message, the good news. Okay. So is the gospel still good news to you? It's a good question to ask. Is the gospel still good news to you? So if you want to put a summary of it, I wrote it down. I said the gospel refers to the good news of Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection, and a message of salvation and reconciliation with God that it brings. Essentially, it's the news that Jesus, the Son of God, died for our sins, was buried, and rose again, offering forgiveness and eternal life to those who believe. So now we're all like, okay, how am I going to remember that, sharing that to people? Okay. Basically, you're a sinner. We're all lost. We're all going to hell. We all deserve hell. Jesus has a plan to save us. He came to earth and paid the price for you so that you will be reconciled with God and have a relationship with him. He paid the price. That's the good news. And that's basic. Paul writes, in, if you want to go read it, Ephesians 2 from the first one onwards, he talks about what is the gospel. And he comes to this very important scripture, which is, I'm talking Christianity 101 now. God said we need to go back to the basics. And I want to read this verse to us now. And it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that's at Gospel 101. But is it something that you meditate about? And that's what I feel God's taking us back to. Is this, should be some, do you totally understand what it means that you are saved by grace? Through faith. And that's what I've been pondering. I'm like, Lord, I'm meditating on this and talking about it. What's God saying? Okay. That's the gospel. And now verse 16 starts off. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Is this calm or my gospel to verkondig nie? Okay? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I want to stick there. So what is he saying? So most of us sitting here this morning, if he says, Paul says to them, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Most of us would think, okay, what? Okay, Lord, what are you, well, how am I applying this? Am I ashamed of the gospel? Am I ashamed of sharing the gospel with unbelievers? Isn't that what most of us think? Isn't it? The first time I read it, I said, okay, that's what he wants to say, that we shouldn't be ashamed. Because Paul's assuming, that's why he's saying it, he's assuming that we are ashamed of sharing the gospel. And that's the first thing I read. I'm like, okay, am I ashamed, Lord, of the gospel? Am I? Am I ashamed of sharing this thing? And at first glance, I thought that's what he's saying. He's trying to encourage us to share the gospel. Don't be ashamed of it. But you know what? That's not what he's saying. It's not Paul's intentions of saying those words. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. See, the question is, who is he talking to? And yeah, I'm going to start heading home now. Who is he talking to? Let's read verse 13 to 15, just before this. Starts in verse 13. It says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers. Brothers. So who is he talking to? The church. That I have often intended to come to you in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under no obligation both I am under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. So who is he? He says, I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel to you. I'm like, but the gospel, isn't it something that saves me? And I think sometimes, and what I picked up in my heart, how many times do I have to hear the gospel then? How many times do I have to, what is it then? What's the gospel then? And this is my journey with the Lord. I'm like, why is he saying to the church he's not ashamed to keep on preaching the gospel? And if I'm going to tell you guys now, hey, next Sunday we're going to talk about the gospel. And the Sunday after that, we're going to talk about the gospel. And the Sunday after that, we're going to talk about the gospel. And we're like, I don't understand this, Paul. There's a reason why he keeps on telling them the gospel. And he wants to know that I'm not ashamed to do that. I'm not ashamed to keep on talking to you about the gospel. I'm not ashamed to do that. And he actually says that I feel obligated. I feel like ek word gedwing, gedring in my heart om vir julle bly die gospel te verkondig. Hoekom? And he explains it why. It's beautiful. He carries on. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Firstly, I just want to mention this. Augustine wrote this. We spoke about it as elders on our elders meeting this week. And Rian mentioned this, and I looked up he did mention it might be somebody down the line. It was actually somebody only 300-400 years after Jesus said this. Like Augustine wrote, he talks about John's gospel, but it comes down to the same thing. He says, the gospel is deep enough for an elephant to swim and shallow enough for a child not to drown. How beautiful is that? The gospel is deep enough for an elephant to swim, but shallow enough for a child not to drown. So it's so basic for us as babies coming into the kingdom of God to understand the gospel. But it's so deep that Paul is not ashamed to keep on preaching this thing. Keep on preaching the gospel. Why? Why? Verse 16 carries on and it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. And we're going to get into that now. But firstly, why? For salvation to everyone who believes. For salvation to everyone who believes. Now we're getting into this now. That's why it's such a deep scripture. So he says, I'm not ashamed to keep on telling you the gospel, for it's the power of God for a blessed life. No. For it's the power of God for a healthy, prosper life. He says, I'm going to keep on telling you the gospel because it's going to bring power so that you'll have a prosper life. No. He says, I'm going to keep on telling the gospel for it's the power of God for you for a comfortable life in Swellendam. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to keep on telling you the gospel because it's going to bring power into your life so you'll have a comfortable life in Swellendam. Why do most of us live in Swellendam? Some of you grew up here. I understand why you're still here, because you grew up here. It's a beautiful place. A lot of people move into this town. Why? Because it's beautiful, and I want a comfortable life. It's safe. It's a great place to grow up your kids. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And it's comfortable. There's no traffic. It's mountains, I can walk in. And then what I do, I get this, just want to make sure that I've got a good life with the Lord as well. It's a comfortable life. It's a safe life if I'm saved as well, obviously. I love Jesus, so. But most of us didn't move here because Jesus told us. We moved here because it's a beautiful town. And obviously the Lord will use that. But he says, I'm going to keep on telling you the gospel. I'm not ashamed to keep on telling you the gospel, because it's the power of God for salvation. Now, why is he saying that to the church? Why do you need to hear the gospel for salvation? Right? Why? Why do you need the power of God for salvation after I know the gospel? He says, I want to keep on telling you the gospel because it's the power of God to save you and keep on saving you. Because we think, I'm comfortable, I know Jesus, he knows me. And he says, nah, I'm not ashamed of keeping telling you the gospel. Do you know that you need salvation continually? Isn't it once saved, I'm justified? Wat justice, ek is regverdig voor die Here. Ek is 'n kind van hom. Ek het my hand opgelig en ek praat nie net van daai een keer nie. Ek weet, I'm justified. I know this, I believe this, and we have to. But justification doesn't come without sanctification. Meaning, in Afrikaans wil ek, ons regverdigheid voor die Here, waar die Here vir jou sien as jou kind, kan nie kom sonder heiligmaking. Kan nie. It's not. And you can't, and here's the other side of it. I can't sanctify and live a holy life without being justified. Without understanding that Jesus saved me. And that's why Paul says, I'm going to keep on telling you. I'm not ashamed of keep on telling you the gospel. And I just want to read a few scriptures to us. So just to hit this home. Why we need it. And do you still need it? So, like I want to say, are you saved? Are you saved? Now everybody's like, I don't know if I want to pick up my hand. Are you saved? Amen, we're saved. Are you saved? Yes, we are, but are we saved? I'm not sure now because I want to say you are saved, but you're also not saved because you're still here. I'm like, what, Lord? Yes, we're in heavenly places with the Lord. Those are our justification. But are you saved? You're still in the world. Jesus hasn't come back yet. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. That's a massive scripture. Very debated. Being saved. Like, aren't we saved and totally saved? Yes, you are. But you're also being saved. Romans 13:11. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from the sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. You hear that? Hy sê, jou redding, ons redding is nou nader as wat het was, toe ons begin glo. So there's something that we're seeing now, that we're getting saved as well. We're being saved. We're not just saved. And that's the difference, that's the thing of justification and sanctification. It's a process that God wants to save us. And I want to read, this is a beautiful scripture. 2 Timothy 4 verse 18, it says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory and forever and ever. Amen. The Lord will save me from every evil deed. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say? No, it's not like the Lord doesn't say, the Lord have saved me. The Lord will save you from every evil deed. Okay. So why did he send, I just want to, just to explain this to us. That's why he sends us the Holy Spirit. Why? He says why? To show you the way. To what? Salvation. Yes, I'm a child of God. But will you be found with your lamp full of oil? Will you have fruit or be pruned from the vine? Will you stay warm and I'd become lukewarm and I'll spit you out of my mouth. See, just saying that I believe in Jesus, I don't need to hear the gospel anymore. I understand the gospel. See, we totally misunderstand the gospel. The gospel is a process of saving you and using you to save other people so that when the Lord comes back, we are in Him and found in Him. That's why He says, stay in me. Stay in me. That's why I give you the Holy Spirit, to show you the way to this thing. But to think, I'm okay here in Swellendam. I'm comfortable with my, yes, I've got my struggles. We've all got storms. And they're honest storms. But is your relationship and coming to church purely to ride the storm and get through the storm and for God to bring breakthrough? Or is it, we need to understand the gospel. That the gospel, and that's why Paul says, I'm not ashamed to keep on telling you the gospel. Because it's the power of God to save. So I don't want to talk about, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. Oh, julle, voel jy nog die krag van die Here in jou lewe? That's a great question to ask. Do you still feel and experience the power of God in your life? Because when I think of the power of God in my life, I think of God creating the universe. That's powerful. Come on, isn't it most of us, when somebody asks you, what's the power of God? What are you going to say? Have you ever thought about that question? Come on, who's thought about that question? Be honest this morning. What is the power of God? Not a lot of us. That's why God says, let's go back to the basics. Let's go back to the basics. What's the power of God? And then we think of miracles and signs and wonders and healings. And what's the power of God? And that's why He says, I'm not ashamed to keep on telling you the gospel, because that's the power of God for salvation. That's the power of God. And that now you're beginning to understand why I've been on this for 6 months. What is the power of God in my life? Do you even see the power or the gospel is powerful? See, my heart's desire this morning is that we will see the power of the gospel in our lives. That you will recognize. That you will recognize the power of God in your life. Because this changed my life. This changed my life. I hope that you'll stay with me this morning. Sorry if I'm taking a bit of time, but this is a massive word for us, I think. So, volg julle mee? Is julle saam mee? Is it all right? Is it okay so far? Okay. For by grace you have been saved through faith. We always say, my dad told me this, as a kid growing up, that grace is God making place for you at the table. That's pardon. He creates space for you at the table, at His table, as a child. But grace is also power in putting His hand around you next to the table and leading you the way. So, and that sounds so awesome. It explains grace to me. It's power. It's not just pardon. It's power as well. Okay? But what is the power of grace in your life? How do you recognize that? How do I recognize the power of grace in my life? It sounds all these Christianese words, but what is it? What is it? And then Paul answers, verse 17. So he explains to you, first he says that verse, that we need to keep on sharing this, because you need to stay on, we need to save you. God, this is part of His salvation plan, is me keep on telling you the gospel. And He says, how does that gospel, how does this power of God manifest itself in my life? He says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed, from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the righteousness of God is revealed. So how does the gospel continually keep you on the right path? For in it the love of God is revealed. Is that what Paul thought about? I'm going to keep on sharing the gospel to you, because for in it the love of God is revealed. No. For in it, the peace of God is revealed in Swellendam. And I keep on hearing the gospel because I want a peaceful life in Swellendam. For in it, the worth of God is revealed. No. Because God's really this worth. I need to keep on hearing this, so I'm going to keep on worshiping and it's going to stay. These are all truths. But that's not what Paul's saying. He says, for in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. And when I first read that, like Martin Luther, the first time he read it, he's like, this doesn't make me feel good. The gospel reveals the righteousness of God. Now, how is that powerful? How is that the power of God in my life? What is righteousness? I've struggled with making sure that I really do understand what's the righteousness of the rechtvaardigheid van Here, the gerechtigheid van Here. The holiness. What's the difference between holiness and righteousness? It's like, it's sort of the same thing, isn't it? What is His righteousness? His holiness is who He is in His nature. That's who the Father, that's who God is. His righteousness is that holiness acted out. Okay, have you got that? His righteousness is that holiness acted out in how He lives and decisions He makes and everything He does is righteous because He's holy. Okay. Now, how is this powerful in my life? And here's what it comes down to. God wants to show you, the gospel reveals how righteous, perfect He acts. How does that make you feel, sitting here right now? The gospel reveals how good God is. How does that make you feel? Ungodly? Shouldn't it? How does that make you feel? Unrighteous. And that's why Martin Luther really struggled with this, because the gospel is supposed to make me feel joy, peace, love, all these nice things. But this makes me feel what? Guilt. See, the gospel reveals the price or the thing that you cannot get. He wants you to see and understand you can't get close to God. And He wants to keep on telling us that. That's why Paul says, I want you to know this. And you need to feel unrighteous. You need to feel, I can't get close to God. He wants you to feel that. That's why I asked right in the beginning, how many times do I still have to repent? How many times do I, and I struggle with this thing because I feel this guilt and I feel this, and don't we all? I know this is, I don't want to talk over your heads this morning. Am I making sense? God wants you to feel that you're unrighteous. I hope this hits home this morning. This is going to free you. Why? Because this is the power of the gospel. Because He wants you to show you the price He paid. And He wants to show you, I paid for that thing. I gave my Son for that thing. That thing you're struggling with. Everything you do, if it's not in Jesus Christ, is unrighteous, selfish, like filthy rags before Me. You can't be righteous. And this is the gospel. This is the beauty of the gospel. This is the good news. This is the power of grace. That you can't, but I paid for that thing. So don't be a slave to that thing. But be a slave to righteousness, Paul says later on. He explains this thing. I want you to be a slave to Me. And he says, I explain it in worldly terms, meaning slave. Why am I saying slave? So that you guys will understand that you need to see your unrighteousness. And that's why Paul says, I'm not ashamed to keep on preaching the gospel to you, because you need to keep on seeing how you need God. And that will keep you on the way to Him, to salvation. Because once we get into a comfortable place in Swellendam, once we get into a comfortable place, see, the key in this thing, and he carries on. He says the key in this thing is faith. See, faith says, I put what I feel unrighteous, but I put my faith in Jesus making me righteous. It's His righteousness. See, the moment I say I'm just a human being, I struggle with these things, I say I put faith in myself. That's what faith is. Faith is just this. It's putting your faith in Him and making it about Him. So there's two schools or two groups of human beings, and we pick this up in the Bible. Once we hear about grace, you get the guy in Corinthians who sleeps with his stepmom. And he says to the, and the church celebrates that, because this shows grace of God. The moment I feel, and we see this in the world, the moment I feel, hey, grace, Jesus paid for that thing. There's grace for that. You make the grace about you and not the grace about God. That's what faith does. Faith says, I make this grace about Him. That He saved me. I want to make it about Him. I don't want to make it about my freedom and a license to sin. And there's the other school of people who take, when we hear this thing about righteousness, and all of us maybe, when I first read it, I want to be honest with you, when I first read it, and I read like, Paul wants to keep on telling the gospel so that the righteousness will be revealed. That and when I read it, I'm like, okay, Lord, I really want to do the right thing. Because when I see Him in a way He's holy, I want to make sure that I'm holy. I want to do the right thing. And what am I saying? I want to make it about me. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to get free of this sin. I'm going to live a righteous life. I put the faith in me. And I'm not making it about Him and His glory. That's what faith does. And that's why it says the righteous shall live by faith. So you putting your faith into Jesus says, I want to reflect the power of God in this world. So this is the power of the gospel. I want to start landing now. This is beautiful, guys. Try and follow me now. I know it's been long and complicated. The world desires to see God. We know that. It's been a question for all of it, humanity. They desire to see God. How did God choose to manifest Himself to the world? Through creation? But His power through what? The gospel. You embracing God, revealing your unrighteousness, shows the power to the world. I'm going to try and explain that. Embracing grace, embracing God showing me you need to sort that thing out. I eagerly desire now, after these couple of months, I eagerly desire people to come and talk to me where I'm not reflecting Jesus. Because me changing shows the power of God. Me not accepting depression. Me not accepting holding on to unforgiveness. And I can carry on with all these things. Me not accepting these things and saying that I will choose to put my faith in God and deal with these things to show the power of the gospel to the world. And that is how God chooses to manifest His power to the world. It's through you changing and being sanctified. So I will keep on asking God, show me, because I want to repent. I want to change, because I want to reflect your glory. I want to reflect your grace. I want to change. I'm not going to keep on doing this thing. I want to pour out my life for you. I don't want to be comfortable in Swellendam. Yes, I will go gladly get a great job, earn so I can buy a new Fortuner and get a better job and be more comfortable in this world. Or do I want to change my life so that the manifesting power of God can show through my life? I will lay down my life for the gospel, not for my comfort. I will lay down my life for the community. That's why I go to community when I don't want to. That's why I come to church on a Sunday morning when I'm tired. Because through this weakness in my flesh, I'm manifesting the power of God. I'm manifesting laying down my life, sacrificing. Why? Why? Because He paid for that thing. Not because I want to be righteous. Because He paid for that thing. And that's why Paul says, I'm not ashamed to keep on preaching this to you. We need to put our faith in Him. You know what? Nowhere do we read anywhere. No, let me rephrase. I'm going to start like this. Every human being in this world has got faith. Every human being. You can be the biggest atheist, agnostic, whatever. Every human being has faith. And the Bible explains it. You've either got faith in yourself or faith in God. Because nowhere in the Bible does the devil ask you to have faith in Him. Have you thought about it? He only asked Jesus to worship Him because He's God. But nowhere does He ever ask a human being to have faith in Him. The devil will never ask you that. He'll ask you to have faith in Swellendam. Because you're going to be comfortable there. He's going to ask you to have faith in that job. Because that job's going to bring you a breakthrough. He's going to ask you to have faith in these things. That puts faith in you. See, me laying down my life manifests the power of God to Swellendam. Me dealing with these things. And one of the topics I wanted to give this preach was embracing grace. Meaning the power of grace is showing me how filthy, desperately I need God. Because He paid for those things. And that's the gospel, knowing that you're still in need of God. Yes, I'm a child of God. I cannot have sanctification without justification. I cannot. It's one thing. You can't split these two things. I can't just say, hey, ek het my hand opgelig by die saal laai een oggend by die kerk. Of by die saal by opening. Or men's camp, I put up my hand and I'm saved. And now we've preached this many times, but hopefully this morning, God revealed to you the power of His gospel. Don't shy away from your weaknesses. That's why Paul says, I boast in my weaknesses. So if God's pointing in your heart this morning those things that you have to deal with, and you don't want to deal with it, it's saying, I'm putting faith in that lie. I'm putting faith in that sin. He says, I'm not a slave to that thing anymore. God wants to manifest His power through your life. Amen? That's the gospel. And I want to ask you this morning, is it still the power of the gospel in your life? And my question was, and my biggest desire for this morning is, do you now recognize the power of God in your life? Come on, ask yourself that question. Do you recognize the power of God in your life? You should after this morning, because you should understand that Him showing me my sin is Him manifesting the power of God in my life. Don't shy away from that sin. I want to be, and I'm answering that question in the beginning, I want to be sin conscious, because it makes me God conscious. People say, don't be sin conscious. I want to be, because it shows me how God saved me. And I've dealt with it. I remember I spoke about it 2-3 weeks ago when God spoke to me at the Southern Cape Equip. At the Southern Cape Equip, the Lord said to me, Charles, in worship, He said, you're still struggling with the fear of failure. And I thought, I've dealt with this. And I broke down, I repented. And now working through this, I understand that's the power of God. It's not feeling guilt and shame about the sin. It's understanding that He wants to show you these things, what He paid for. That's the power of the gospel. So don't we all want to stand, please? JD, will you nip in the guitar and come? Can you worship me? Yes, Lord. I want to ask you, don't you want to close your eyes and just stay with the Lord in this moment? Don't lose your thought. Don't start thinking about what you're going to eat off church. Yes, Lord. Lord, I really do feel, Lord, that you spoke to your hearts this morning. For us to embrace your power in our lives and not feel guilt or shame, but embracing the power of the gospel, your righteousness, showing us the price that was needed to pay and we cannot pay it. That's what you did in the Old Testament. That's what you're doing in the New Covenant. It's still showing us that now I've paid for this. See, the first thing that happens and needs to happen is justification, meaning that God says, I take you out of the darkness and I put you into the light, meaning you're a sinner that needs saving, and I'm your savior. I'm trusting this morning that if you're sitting here this morning and you need that, you know that you need a Savior. And you've never said, Lord, Jesus, I see you as my Savior. See, that's the gospel. That's the good news. And I trust that your heart is yearning for this good news this morning, that you need saving. So if you feel that in your heart, don't you want to just pick up your hand with everybody's eyes closed? Is anybody here this morning that wants to say, I need saving? I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. If there's anybody like that, don't you want to just lift up your hand? We would love to pray with you. Anybody? Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm going to ask you to come forward afterwards. I would love to pray with you. That gentleman had put up his hand. I'd love to pray with you afterwards. Please come forward. Now, for everyone else this morning, don't you want to respond to God? And if you feel this morning, I want to ask you to respond also by just lifting up both your hands and saying, Lord, I want you to free me of this thing. I'm a slave to this. I'm a slave to this. And I know now, Lord, that you showed me this so that your power can manifest in my life. Don't you want to respond to God and say, Father, I repent of this thing. And it is your kindness that leads me to repentance. It's your kindness that leads me. Showing me that there's no more condemnation. Ek hoef nie meer sleg te voel oor hierdie goed nie. Dat U betaal vir hierdie prys en oor dat U betaal het vir dit. Oor dat U betaal het vir dit. Wil ek nie meer nie, Here. Ek wil nie meer nie, Here. Ek wil nie meer. I don't want to, God. I don't want to struggle with this thing anymore. There's so many people responding this morning. Father, I pray that your power will manifest in their lives, seeing this and getting freed of this thing. I feel like to pray for something specific now. And I think this is a curse of this age. And it's materialism. It's what we think people think of us. The way I look, the way I dress. And this goes down into putting the faith in yourself. See, if we look at John the Baptist, the way the world looked at him, how are you comparing to him? And if I remember correctly, Jesus said there's no more righteous man than John the Baptist. That's a shocker. John the Baptist. No more righteous man than John the Baptist. And he looked like what? Soos 'n straatman. Nee? Lord, I want to pray in Jesus' name that we will become free of this faith in ourselves to look nice, to look acceptable, to act acceptable, to have this affirmation of the world affirming to us that we've got everything in order in this nice town. And I pray, Lord, that you will free us. And I pray, Father, firstly, I pray that you will reveal it to us as sin. Putting our faith in this world and putting our comfort, not just our comfort, Lord, putting our affirmation in this world and wanting affirmation of this world in the way I dress, the way I look, the way I pray, Father, that you will free us of this thing. In Jesus' name, Lord. That we will gladly look foolish to you. That we will show the world that this is the power of God. Me being free of that. I pray that you will fill us with your Spirit, Father. I pray that you will fill us. And as we see your grace, that you fill us with your Spirit in love, joy, peace. And all of this is because you love us, God. You reveal us. But even what Paul says often in verse 18, he goes on and carries on. He talks about the wrath of God. The wrath of God. He reveals it because that's at the other side of salvation. If there's no salvation, there's his wrath. And I pray, Father, that you will show us and reveal to us your grace to save us from that wrath. And to show us this morning that your plan is to save us. Your plan is to be with us forever. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.